little dog too.
What's the latest on the Joe Brady witch report?
All right, the Joe Brady witch report.
This is a witchy game. I mean,
this is pretty good. Stop watching this play where he 22 on the Jaguars is still running.
Yeah. It might be that as Chris pointed out and Sal pointed out, like you played an opponent who was like man defense. All right, we're going to destroy that. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
What if we tried man again? Okay, we're going to continue to destroy that. What if we ran man defense again?
All right. I think I hit him in like the sixes last week. He's in the sevens. 10 is Kyle Shanahan. He's like a 7.5.
Maybe. Kyle Shanahan's going to lose point for game management.
Mike McDaniel, by the way, is heading down on the witchometer after last week a little bit, I think.
Maybe.
Not too much, because I want to see him with Tyler Huntley.
Number one witch, Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur.
Those
guys are high up there.
They're the witchiest right now.
Sure. Anyway, good morning. Happy Buffalo Bills Victory Tuesday. Great day for Joe Brady. Great day for Bobby Babich. I mean, the Bills had their just whatever they wanted. And I think the one seed has re-entered the chat. Not that we, maybe thought it was out of the question, but a team in transition. And again, like a lot can happen this year. Last year, this time, they beat the Dolphins week 3, and we said best team in football. And then they fell on hard times and had to battle back. And the offensive coordinator got fired. So for what it's worth, a year ago, we felt similarly, and then things started to unravel. This time around, we'll see. But might as well live in the moment and enjoy it while it's this good, because the Bills dominated. The only fan base happier than the Bills right now might be Washington.
Yeah.
If they have fans left, Jaden Daniels has been amazing for them. By rookie quarterback standards and by regular quarterback standards.
Look at this. Compared to Caleb Williams, 80% for Jaden Daniels, 80% completion percentage and 8.7 yards per attempt, and he hasn't turned the ball over. And Caleb Williams at 59%, 5 yards of completion and 5 turnovers.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels.
Holy cow.
On the road in Cincinnati.
And the throw he makes to might be the second best throw of the season so far. I think Anthony Richardson probably still has number one.
To Alec Pierce.
But he might have made the second best throw. He is getting blitzed. Guy is unblocked, in his face. Ball's got to come out. And he throws his ball to the moon before it comes down right in a bucket to Terry McLaurin. Yeah, he was unbelievable last night. 21 of 23, and he's running the ball a lot. I think he's got 3 rushing touchdowns on the season. Certainly fantasy owners are loving that. I think he's only behind Allen in fantasy points. Although Allen would be even higher if he had to play in second halves. That's one thing that's a little skewed right now. Yes. Allen's numbers would be so much higher if how many passes has he thrown in the second half?
Not many. I mean,
at least in the last 2 games.
Right. Like last night, Washington needs to throw passes the entire game because Cincinnati keeps coming back.
Right.
It's a point about Shakir, too. Like you might say, like, well, he's only got 14 targets. If they needed to play second halves, he might have 25.
Yeah, right.
By now.
Right.
Anyway, 803-0550, open segment. You want to give us a call? Let's have it. Let's chat Bills. Talk about that win over Jacksonville. Up next, Baltimore, Houston, and the Jets. I will say this. Well, I mentioned like the one seed. I tweeted out the one seed has entered the chat, and one guy wrote in, put the Kool-Aid down. Let's see where they are after the next 3 weeks.
Well,
okay.
If they win 2 of the 3, they are squarely, to me, right at the head of the pack for the one seed. Is this their toughest stretch of games the rest of the season, these 3? All road games against 2 contenders the next 2 weeks. The Jets are still a little bit unknown, but have looked good. I saw they're 2nd in the AFC in net touchdowns right now. The Bills in net touchdowns are +9. The Jets are 2nd at +5.
And the Steelers are +1.
The Steelers are +1.
3-0.
Right. The Chiefs are +2 at 3-0. The Texans, by the way, I think are minus something. They're in the negative. Either way, the Jets might be a respectable foe for sure, and that's on the road in division. And it's a team that's kind of had your number. If they make it through this 3-game stretch, 2-1, and they're 5-1, out of that, going to play the Titans at home. Like, I am only thinking about the one seed.
Yeah.
The Chiefs haven't looked good enough to just think they're going to run away with it.
Well, the thing that got me thinking about the one seed, it's silly, but maybe it's not. It was watching the video of John Fina do the right here, right now thing, thinking how that is always awesome. What the Bills do with their legend of the game is always awesome. It gets me every time that I'm at the stadium. And I started thinking about, you know, there have been a couple seasons since 13 seconds. There's been a home game in the playoffs, multiple. There's been a Mahomes visit. But there hasn't been the thing they were supposed to get that night, which is to host the AFC Championship game. And
right.
That should be back in the mix. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo, good morning. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. Thanks, Mo.
We've had a victory Monday, victory Friday, now victory Tuesday. I love it. I love making these phone calls. You know, last night we got to see a couple of guys that we let go in free agency, and Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis. And Gabe Davis had a quintessential Gabe Davis game. But, you know, those are guys that, you know, I loved as a Bills fan. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. But there's certain players that we have on our roster right now that I just don't want to see walk away. That's Shakir and Benford. I called a couple of weeks ago. I kind of said the same thing. These guys just week in and week out just prove their value to the team. And I think it would do our team a massive disservice if we don't get these guys locked up sometime soon, because the price is only going to go up. As each week passes, you know, we know who Benford is. And eventually, you know, I think on a national level, people are going to start to recognize how good his game is. And, you know, what the cost of a lockdown corner is, you know, it's pricey. You know, if we could lock him up before he gets to the end of his rookie contract, you know, maybe he'll give us a hometown discount. Same thing with Shakir. I don't want that guy to get to anywhere near, you know, free agency or the end of his contract, because, you know, you guys have been saying it all morning. He's the perfect receiver in our system. And I just love his grittiness, his toughness. I kind of hate seeing that touchdown over and over again, because each time I cringe a little bit from last night that he took towards the end.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of big hits. You know what I mean? But he just gets up, man. He just keeps going. So, you know, I love these guys. I love this team. I love what we've done so far. You know, tough road ahead, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I almost feel like he takes a lot of big hits just because he can't be tackled by the lighter hits. Right? There are other receivers where he's crossing and the guy's at his feet. No, he goes down. Well, that's not a big hit, but Shakir doesn't get tackled. There's other receivers that they'll just run into the guy at the goal line at the one, and it won't look like a big hit, but Shakir spins to go around him. Like, it takes a massive hit to take him down, usually. Is he the perfect receiver for what they're doing? I mean, I think he is the yak guy that they want. He is the reliable guy that they want. He is the Allen drops back and he's got to throw it to someone in contested situations. Right now, I feel like that's even him a little bit. So you couldn't have imagined a better start, I don't think, for him. He is at, by the way, about 19.7% target share, which is more towards like a number two receiver target load. It's not like among the elites of the league. It's around like 40th in the NFL for like percentage of his team's targets that are going his way. But he is number one on the Bills.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. On the broadcast last night, they routinely refer to the Bills offensive line as the best in the league, one of the best in the league, one of the best run blocking lines in the league. Just they've put together a nice group. Like, they brought back almost everybody, right? Morse out, McGovern in.
Yep.
To that spot. They've got a good group. Continuity.
I mean, if Spencer Brown is going to be not allowing a single pressure, wasn't he the only weak spot about a year ago?
Yeah.
For this?
The back injury kind of set him back and altered his career arc and got it back on track.
PFF ranked all offensive lines, they rank weekly on their grades and whatever, and they had the Bills going into week 3 as the fourth best offensive line in football. And they might rank them higher next week.
Maybe
they are. Maybe they have the best offensive line in football. I don't know if that's a stretch. It might not be.
Alex in Rochester. Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys. Had the opportunity to go to the game yesterday. Just have 2 points, kind of questions that I'll leave with you, and then see what you guys have to say. First is, you know, we're talking a lot about the secondary and the safeties. My question is, how much of it is that they're playing really well, or is it that our defensive line is taking so much pressure off of them and making them look maybe potentially better than they are, you know, innately? And that's okay. I'm just wondering how much of it is the play by our defensive line. The second point I have is, on the ride home from the game last night, there was a caller that called in, and I thought he made a really good point. He said one of the hardest things to do as an athlete, and this is in regards to Josh Allen, is change your instincts. And I do feel like under Joe Brady and over Josh's career, he's each season he comes back with an ability to change a little bit his instincts. I just think we've seen a bigger leap in that under Joe Brady than we saw under Dorsey. And he is really now not just making those plays because he feels like he has to, but I think he's instinctively making those easier plays. And I think that's the progression that is so incredible about Josh right now, is that he's becoming a player that does this because this is what he instinctively wants to do, as opposed to, yeah, you know, this is what he's trying to do and force it. So,
Alex, we mentioned it very briefly earlier. Like, I like how you say it there, because what I said is, like, what you're seeing is Allen buying into this type of offense. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if there's a – none of this has to be right. It's just how we all see it. But my biggest criticism of their offense in the last 2 years has been not really knowing what they want to be, right? There's all the fight for the soul of Josh Allen. How much should he run it? Is he running it too much? Are they asking him to do too much? And Ken Dorsey's pursuit of yak yards, which he never got. And they drafted Dalton Kincaid. And why do they have Trent Sherfield, McKenzie into an elevated role, and Gabe Davis in an elevated role? And I know everyone's mad at Diggs, but like everything else that they did on offense, their whole offense was, well, we know Allen and Diggs are good. What should we do around that? And every other idea was just like wandering through the desert. Now they get rid of Diggs, and they have an offense that, to me, looks like it understands what it is, what it wants to be. They want to run the ball probably a little more than I want them to, but they are good at it, good enough. And Brady calling such a pass-heavy script yesterday, the passes look easier than they ever did for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Less pressure on him. The line is better. The weapons, I mean, I'm not so sure the weapons are the best they've ever had, but if the script is better, if the scheme is better, that's like the Joe Brady witch report, then it all comes together and looks better.
Is the weapons, though, finally a round peg in a round hole? Like,
sure.
Is Ken Dorsey listening to this conversation right now and saying out loud, I didn't have this fleet of weapons. My top two receivers, maybe he wanted to run more of a yak offense, but his top two receivers were Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis.
I don't think so.
You kind of can't run an offense like that through them, which is fine, right? Like, there are other ways to win offense, but you're not running that play to Shakir last night to Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs. You're not running those screens they run to Curtis Samuel to Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs. Like, it's a very different type of offense when you're funneling your targets through those two.
But that's
that's worked, but it's different than what we see last night.
Right. That's also a point about, I mean, Josh Allen's depth of target. And this is where he's the piece that buys into this idea. Like, let's look at Allen's average depth of target year over year. I'll pull that up and I'll find that. Like, advanced passing and all that stuff. They've got that at Pro Football Reference, right? Yes.
While you're looking that up, the caller's first question, I think, quickly, is definitely the pass rush defensively is helping the Bills secondary. I wouldn't want to take all credit away from them. I don't think that's what you're doing anyway. But, yeah, no, there's no doubt. Von Miller and Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, like, that foursome especially, how quickly they're getting to quarterbacks, I think it is making... It is absolutely insulating their safeties and their linebackers to do a better job than they would if they didn't have a pass rush.
Trying to find ADOT. Where is it? Help me. What we'll see is it's come down. Like, air yards per attempt has come way down. Here you go. Intended air yards per pass attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for this? Josh Allen, year one, 11.
Yep.
He's a rookie way down the field. 11 yards, whether it's complete or not. Year two, 9. Year 3, 4, 5. Like, that's a sweet spot for him. Year 3, 9, 8.5, 8.2, 9.2, 8.7. Do you know what it is this year?
What?
6.6.
See, again, though, I wonder if... Is that when Brady comes in, the guy that's on the other side of the field last night, I don't even need Diggs for this. Give me Gabe Davis. One, when they started lowering that ADOT, when this year started and they didn't throw the football as much, who's not in their offense? Gabe Davis is not in their offense. He was basically irrelevant once Joe Brady showed up last year. And I wonder if you can even say it's a criticism of Ken Dorsey. If they really wanted to be an offense like that, they had to say Gabe Davis is not a regular part of our offense, and they didn't want to say that. And then finally they had to. That's what I wonder is a year ago, Ken Dorsey didn't have the willingness to say our number two wide receiver, yeah, we're just not going to worry about him at all.
Well, one point, I'll make this point. This is a little bit of the other side of the coin. What they're doing is working, and that's great. If I combine their completed air yards per completion and their yards after catch for completion.
Yep.
To make one number, it's the same number. You can either have it in yak or you can have it in air yards. Do you care if it's a 12-yard pass or a 12-yard pass? And this gets to my point about identity. When Dorsey decided they needed that, my reaction was, why? You're fine. Why are you chasing? So you can't be good at everything. And they chased it. And Dorsey and the offense looked like, whether you think it's the wrong pegs for the wrong holes, whatever. Now with Brady, I don't know that they have all of the right pegs. We'll see about some of these other pieces out there, like Mac Hollins and MVS and whatever. These guys are on one-year contracts. Next year, they're going to add pieces to this offense. And if Brady is still around, you'll get more round pegs for your round holes and find exactly what it is that he wants in this offense. But they are doing the things that they intended to do. And that did not happen with Dorsey. I mean, again, the year before Dorsey took over, 4.3 yards after catch. The year after he took over, 4.4.
But aren't they adjusting as the league is adjusting?
That might be a part of it, too.
Maybe this year especially.
But that's like this gets back to 3 years ago, the league wasn't adjusting. It was just Dorsey walking in saying, like, I need that. Why?
Yeah. No, okay, that's right. One big difference, like this is where maybe, like I'm thinking again about that Palazzolo tweet from last night, that the Bills slot receivers might actually be perfect for today's NFL. And I'm looking at the other side of the field and I'm watching Gabe Davis have one catch last night. And I'm thinking, man, you guys paid $13 million to that. And he's not a bad player. But if the Shakir type, the Samuel type, the Coleman type is the perfect type of receiver for today's game, then Gabe Davis is the opposite of that.
Well,
he is not the right receiver for. He is down the field. He is running the same three routes, and they are all 20 plus yards. Which to me, you're just running into a vacuum. You're running into all those safeties are waiting back there, and maybe the Bills are onto it. Maybe that okay. You do have players that are running those routes. We just meant Valdez Scantling, Mac Collins are running those routes, but I don't feel any inclination to throw them the football ever. Versus Gabe Davis, who had 81 targets last year.
Yeah.
And I bet Mac Collins and MVS don't combine for 81 targets this year.
Right. To me, that is one of the sins of what they've done in the years past. Is everyone likes to talk about how it was too focused on Diggs. The reason was the other options just couldn't hack it.
Right.
They always should have been a little better than they were with Gabe. Just watching some highlights and the throw to Keon Coleman. Josh Allen can just stand flat-footed and flick his wrist, and it's exactly where it needs to be, like you're playing video games.
That was your Coleman route, the runway route, right?
Listen, we told you all year, the runway route, the Keon Coleman comes across the field and separates and makes a catch.
Yep.
That's what he made at camp. If you went to camp, you saw him make that play.
And that was man coverage. Man coverage, he ran across the face of the corner, and corner couldn't get in front of him.
He ran the gauntlet drill. That's the gauntlet.
Yep. Now just don't be late.
Bills are 3-0 for the first time since 2020. They've always had a dumb loss early. 3-0 for the first time since 2020. There's always a dumb loss mixed in.
Remember, they go every other. Six losses, three losses, six losses, three losses. So maybe this is a...
Who are all the dumb ones? Is Pittsburgh one of them?
Pittsburgh was a dumb one. Yeah, it was a block punt. Tomlin.
Of course.
The...
Okay, 2020.
See, a lot of their dumb losses I'm thinking of are late.
No, 2021, they lose to the Steelers in the opener.
Yep.
2022, what's the early loss that they would have absorbed? It was the Jets in overtime.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
Remember, also last year in week one.
Yeah, so I got to go back.
Come on, Zach Wilson, so overtime punt return. Brutal.
I got to find the early 2022. They beat the...
There you go.
Oh, they lost to the Dolphins. There it is.
Oh.
They're three... The block punt.
Yep.
Steelers. Dolphins heat stroke game. Josh against three picks in New York.
And Zach Wilson.
All in the early stage of the season. So this is the first time they've gotten out of the first three games without some game where we're saying, how'd you lose that?
Well, I doubt we'll get a dumb loss in the next 3 weeks because I feel like if they were to lose to any of these opponents, it would get chalked up. No, you just played a great team.
Whatever. A respectable Probably. Team. Right.
Yeah.
If Baltimore beats the Bills, we might be surprised, but that's not... Well, whatever.
Their next dumb loss opportunity is definitely Will Levis and the Titans.
They're not losing to Will Levis.
No chance?
No chance.
Man, you never know, though. Once every 10 games, he is going to just go off. All the dumb stuff he tries is going to work once every 10 times.
I want a league where he plays 10 years.
Right. Can the rest of the league give the Titans... Like, hey, you can just have him for free. However he comes, but you got to sign him for 10 years. 10-year contract. We will forward you the check for the money, but you got to sign him.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR on a Victory Tuesday.